The Kingdom of God, the audiobook. Read by John Codio.
Ignorance of the Scriptures. For centuries, most people in the Christian world accepted the Scriptures as the Holy Bible and believed it to be God's revealed and written message to mankind. They believed that it was free of mistakes, ignorant, that it could not be wrong on any subject, infallible, and that its words came from God Himself through specially chosen prophets, inspired. Jewish believers had held the same opinion for centuries before with respect to the Old Testament, and the Orthodox Jews still hold this view today. The belief that the Bible was God's written word and free from error was seen to be the Bible's own claim for itself, as well as the authoritative claim of Christ Himself. Thus, Orthodox Christians today, whatever their denominational label, still hold the doctrine that the Holy Scriptures, both the Old and the New Testaments, are God's actual words to man, originated by Him and communicated by His Holy Spirit's guidance through chosen holy messengers, and are thus verbally the written words, not merely the thoughts, inerrant, infallible, and inspired, as they were originally written in the autograph, that is, in the actual documents penned by the prophets and apostles, or by their secretaries when dictated. 2 Peter 1, 20-21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Romans 16:22. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, greet you in the Lord. The Bible declares itself to be the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Verse 16. This great declaration explains and affirms why the Bible alone has been the final authority for the faith and practice of evangelical Christianity through the centuries. Christ taught the inerrancy of the Bible. John 10:35. If we call them gods to whom the Word of God came and the Scripture cannot be broken, Christ, as the eternally pre-existent member of the Trinity, now God incarnate, occupies a unique place in the Scriptures. He is a God-man from heaven. Note that when Christ said the Scripture cannot be broken in verse 35, He declared categorically that without exception or limitation, that fault cannot be found in the Scriptures. Prophets of the Old Testament received the Scriptures as inerrant. 1. Moses, the author of the first 5 Old Testament books, was commanded by God Himself to record events in Israel's history and transmit them to Joshua. Exodus 17:14. He kept written records of Israel's journeys. Numbers 33:1-2. His writings were to be read and studied by future kings of Israel. Deuteronomy 17:18-19. He wrote down a body of law which priests of Israel preserved. This law was to be read publicly every 7 years in order to preserve godly living. Deuteronomy 31:9-12. Moses' law was to be received and studied by Joshua as the secret of his success by direct command of God. Joshua 1:7-8. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. 2. Joshua's generation saw Moses' writing not as the words of man, but as having the authority of God. Joshua 8:31-35. 3. David charged Solomon to obey God's written law, especially the law of Moses. 1 Kings 2:3. 4. Isaiah claimed that the words that he spoke and recorded were the actual words of God, which were to be received and obeyed. Isaiah 1:10. Isaiah equated correctness with adherence to God's written word. Isaiah 8:20. 5. Daniel studied the writings of Jeremiah the prophet and took these to be accurate and inerrant records of God's message to man. Daniel 9:2. Compare Jeremiah 25:11-12. 6. Malachi ends the Old Testament era with an admonition to remember the law of Moses, the statutes and judgments. Malachi 4:4. Malachi 4:4. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. The scriptures were uniformly and universally received by the Old Testament prophets and the writers themselves as the perfect and inerrant word of God, the only standard of faith and practice. Christ and the apostles authenticated the New Testament as inerrant. 2 Peter 1:21. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. In addition to both the Old Testament prophets and Christ, the New Testament apostles and the writers agreed that the scriptures were truly from God and hence inerrant. Christ and the apostles accepted Genesis as a factual account. Matthew 19:4. And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? Some skeptics have dismissed the Genesis account of creation and miracles as impossible, but the Bible says that Christ was present with God in the beginning and all things were made through him. John 1:1-3. He alone who came from heaven was present at creation. He witnessed all events in biblical history. He was in a position to know truth from error, fact from myth. What he accepted as true becomes our most certain guide to truth. Christ and the apostles accepted the books most attacked by critics. Matthew 12:40-41. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here. The book of Jonah, claimed by some to be fiction, was personally authorized by the all-knowing Christ, nor is this the only disputed book he had just said. The Pentateuch, the first five Old Testament books, was written by Moses. Moses' final death account, Deuteronomy 34, was probably added by Joshua. Note that in Matthew 4, 4, 7, and 10, Christ defeats Satan by quoting from Deuteronomy 6, 16, 8, 3, and Deuteronomy 10, 20. Next to Genesis, Deuteronomy is the book most attacked by critics. Yet it was Christ's first choice in fighting Satan. Our conclusion? Deuteronomy was authenticated as inerrant scripture once and forever by the all-knowing Christ. The book of Daniel was written by Daniel about 600 to 550 BC. Although critics say it was written 400 years later at about 168 BC. They allege this because Daniel's prophecies in chapter 2, 7, and 8 seem to extend this far into history, although indeed they extend much farther. These critics do not believe it possible that God's prophets could miraculously predict the future. Jesus, however, quotes Daniel as a God-inspired foreteller of the future, Matthew 24:15, Mark 13:14. To Christ, and therefore to us, the book of Daniel came from God, was written by Daniel, foretells the future, and is inerrant in all of its words. Some scholars divide Isaiah into three sections. First Isaiah, chapters 1 to 39. Second Isaiah, chapters 40 to 55. Third Isaiah, chapters 56 to 66. Because of the three divisions of the subject matter, different emphasis, and alleged variations in style, some maintain that different authors wrote each section. However, Isaiah is mentioned by name in the New Testament some 21 times. For example, Matthew 15:7-9, there's a reference to Isaiah 29:13. In Matthew 3:3, there's a reference to Isaiah 43. In Acts 8:28-33, there's a reference to Isaiah 53:7-8. Along with these three quotations, one of which was spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ, from the three different sections of Isaiah, there are at least 18 others from Matthew through Romans. All New Testament writers accept the unity of the book Isaiah and that it is the work of one prophet. Fulfilled prophecy shows the inerrancy of the Bible. Psalm 119 verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Matthew 24:35. He was speaking in a context of prophetic predictions. He insisted that every predicted word would find its fulfillment because it comes from God, who knows and controls the future. Other prophets have spoken throughout world history. It is apparent that none of them really knew the future, especially the distant future. Only the prophecies of the Bible have been and will be fulfilled in every detail. These prophecies came to us in the exact words of Scripture. Their past fulfillment is a proof that the Bible is God's book, true as it claims for itself and inerrant even in its prophetic words. The biblical creation, Genesis 1:1-3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Genesis 1 reveals the glories of God's creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. In 6 days, God created a spectacular universe full of wonder and mystery. The sun and the planets, animals, birds, fish, vegetation, land, and sea. 6 times, God pronounced his creation good, Genesis 1:4, 10, 12, 18, 21, and 25. Then in 1:31, he said it was very good. This includes the earth and all its physical aspects. There are religions and philosophy based on the belief that the physical world is an illusion, or that the physical world is really just perception but not reality. Hinduism and idealism. The philosopher Plato, 427 to 347 BC, elevated the spiritual matters over the physical. 2,000 years of church history show that the fog of Platonism has often clouded Christians. Many think God's ultimate purposes involve escape from the carnal, physical world to a glorious spiritual existence in the sky. A strong contrast is made between the earth and heaven, so much that the ultimate goal is to escape earthly existence. But anti-material views are wrong. Physical things are not bad. In fact, the material and the immaterial aspects of God's creation are in harmony with each other. The new world needed a ruler. Yes, God was king and could directly rule over this new kingdom himself, but this was not his plan, so he created man. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness," Genesis 1:26. As image and likeness of God, man is created as king and son. He is placed into a relationship with God. Man is now positioned and equipped to rule and subdue the earth on God's behalf. Man has a task to complete. First, he is to multiply and fill the earth. God's plan for mankind involves more than just Adam and Eve. It involves their offspring. Adam and Eve were made to produce other image bearers who too would share their God-given responsibilities. Second, God instructs man to rule and subdue the creation. The Hebrew term for rule, which is used twice in Genesis 1:26-28, is ratha, which means have dominion, rule, or dominate. This is evident in man's naming of the animals, which was a demonstration of dominion. See Genesis 2:19-20. Thus, there is a royal and kingly aspect to the language of Genesis 1:26-28. The very first of the divine injunctions laid upon him, man was regal in character. God placed man in a physical environment suitable for beings with physical bodies. There was a real place called Eden. God also made sensual delights for Adam, including food. Out of the ground the Lord caused to grow every tree that was pleasing to the sight and good for food. Genesis 2:9. Adam was given physical work to do. He was to cultivate and keep the Garden of Eden God entrusted to him. Genesis 2:15. Then God made a real flesh and blood mate for Adam, a woman, Eve, who would be Adam's equal, yet also different from Adam. Genesis 2:18-25. From this point onward, man's service to God would also include his treatment of other human beings. Authority to rule over creation was not intended to be the sole possession of Adam. The command for Adam and Eve to fill the earth with other image bearers indicated this. The couple can eat from any tree in the garden, but they were to avoid eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. To eat from it meant death. This was an opportunity for these volitional beings to willingly express obedience to the Creator with their hearts. Avoiding the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was to be an expression of worship. John 1:1-5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. John 1:18. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, has declared Him. The earth. I do not believe that the earth is flat like a chapati or a pancake, and I do not subscribe to the Flat Earth Society's view. However, I would rather believe the Bible and its authentic account of creation than any man-made belief system or agency.
Welcome to Matei2O, the teaching ministry of John Codio. Based on what Jesus said in Matthew 28:19, and what the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy in his second letter, chapter 2, verse 2. Matei2O in Greek means to make a disciple. This recording is meant to teach God's Word with clarity and simplicity. Thank you for listening.